6, and we are going to start at about verse 12, and we can read these verses, but then I don't think I'll be too long tonight to try to get through this. Chapter 6, of course, in verse 1, it says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened the one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw and behold a white horse." And we read through these, preached on them, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." Oh, let me interject something. Please don't text anybody down there about it and mention it. Just don't do it, please. Okay. Well, no, you don't. Just leave it alone. Okay. And verse 4, "And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and that there was given unto him a great sword. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine.' And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast saying, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Then when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and revenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?' And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet a season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And behold, when he had opened this we're going to kind of pick it up tonight. Behold, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and the ever bondman, and ever free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and to the rocks, 'Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?'" Now, if I was to ask you, if you died right now, or in a week, or in a year, which we will, or 10 years, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? And if you have to say, "Preacher, I'm not sure," then you're not ready for what I'm about to show you here, what I just read. You're not ready for that. If you don't know you're saved, you're not ready for it. You're not ready because you'll see over 3 billion people die in a very short time that we saw last week. You're not ready for what is about to come upon you. Your friends, family, parents, or pastors will not be able to help you for what it is about to happen on the earth, what you've just seen. So from 12 to 17, are you ready for that, what we read for it? I am, because I won't be here. And if you know Christ is your Savior, you're not going to be here. We say, I'm saved, but I'm going through the tribulation. No, you're not. Not even if you think you're going to, it ain't going to happen. Well, I'm going to fight, I'll stay here and fight. Really? Against that? No, you're not. You're talking like a lunatic. You have no concept of what's going on. They're begging for the mountains to fall on them, to kill them, and they can't die. tough, man. Verse 12, and so we see the sun's darkened, possibly because of all the dust and volcano action. Okay. How many ever heard of an island called Krakatoa?
Yes, sir.
Huh? It's an island in the Dutch East Indies, which in 1883, when it exploded, it reduced an 18-square-mile island down to 6 square miles. It caused a 50-foot tidal wave that traveled 8,000 miles to Cape Horn. The sound of the explosion was heard over 3,000 miles away. And over 36,000 people were killed. And that's just one little volcano.
Yellowstone's supposed to be about that size, too.
Yep. Yeah, if not bigger. Yeah. And they're getting all worked about. I can guarantee them it's going to go off. I won't be here. All them poor grizzly bears and elk, that good hunt and stuff, you know, going to be toast. Are you ready for it? When the earthquake happened, it triggered the volcano and the ash from this Krakatoa. The ash filled the upper atmosphere and was visible in the sunrise and the sunset for 3 years. For 100 miles away, the sun was blotted out, and the moon appeared blood red when they could see it through the volcano ash. What about the earthquake that happened in Iran a few years ago? They killed over 33,000 people. It was quite a few years ago, probably, what, 10, 12, 15 years ago? In just seconds. But all that will be as nothing compared to when the angel opens that sixth seal. There'll be volcanoes going off all over the world. Think about that. Of the billions, over 3 billion people in a matter of hours are going to die. So let's look at verse 12. And I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Look at Joel. Hold your place in Revelation. Go back to the Old Testament. You've got Daniel, Hosea, Joel. If you get to Daniel, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, we're going to go to Joel chapter 2 and look at verse 30. Joel chapter 2 and verse 30. And he says, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Well, we assume that could come out of when they open up hell. But also, it's going to be volcanoes and stuff. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. It's going to look blood red before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. So that gives you when that thing is going to happen. You say, well, wait a minute. He comes at the rapture for the church. No, he comes in the air. And he takes the church up. And that starts a tribulation. But his second coming, this here, the terrible day of the Lord, when he comes, that's at the second coming. When he leaves heaven, Revelation 19, 11, 12, 13, and 14, and brings the armies with him and comes down and smite. And it's what's that? That's the battle of Armageddon. Okay? And that's not the last battle. That's just the battle of Armageddon. The battle of Armageddon is not the end of the world. It doesn't come for over 1,000 years after that. The battle of Gog and Magog is the last battle. Revelation 20, 21. So, but this is talking about at the end of the tribulation period, when the Lord comes back with his armies, and he smites them, and the blood runs to the bridle of the horses. That is the battle of Armageddon. That is the terrible day of the Lord. Okay? And that's just exactly what we're seeing in Revelation over there. Look at Joel chapter 3. And look at verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Now, what valley is that talking about? The valley of Armageddon. The valley of Gehenna. That's all for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decisions. He says, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shine. Why? Well, all that smoke and all that ash and everything that's hit. You remember when Mount St. Helens went off? We lived in Dillon that time, and remember we got up and ash was all over everything, but in Seattle, it turned night there in the middle of the day. Older people know that, and so a lot of you were just kids at that time, that's what it's talking about here in verse the 15, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion. See, remember back over in Revelation, we'll go back and read that to where they said that they. Now think about this. How many of you ever saw a baby lamb? Is there anything intimidating about them? Now hold your place. Go back to Revelation. Remember what it said, verse 16 of chapter 6, and said to the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. This Lamb, they are terrified of. Yeah. So go back to Amos there. He says, the Lord shall roar out of Zion. See, to them, he's a roaring lion. He's a lamb, but he's a roaring. We think the Lord's coming is going to be sweet. No, he's coming like a lion from the tribe of Judah. That's what we read in Revelation 2 and 3 and 4. And he's roaring. Now, you ever hear a lion roar? I was at the St. Louis Zoo when I was about 7 years old, and we were standing by the cage, and that rascal roared, and I'm telling you, scared me and all of us, because we were only 5 or 6 years. Man, we thought that scoundrel was after us, but it was so loud. So when he roars out of Zion, that's Mount Zion, that's heaven. And utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So that's what's going on. He's the hope. Now look at all the death and destruction, and right in the middle of all that is hope and forgiveness. Isn't that something? See, if you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of being a sinner and have asked him to save you, then these terrible things that it is talking about here will not scare you a bit. It won't bother you because you won't be here. You'll be in heaven. But if you haven't done that, you are not ready. When he roars, you're going to wet your pants. Okay, it's not going to be fun, and so that's what's going on. Back chapter 6 and verse 13, and the stars of heaven fell on the earth. Revelation 6, and fig tree cast her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Okay, and verse 13, we just read that there. The stars of heaven fall. Now, there are a couple of things that can be. I'm told that almost all stars are larger than the earth. If you go read them. The sun is a star. Now, think about this. And you can set a what they say, you can set a million Earths in our sun. I can't even fathom that, but that's what they say. So again, this could only mean one of two things, I think. If that is the case, then just one star hitting the Earth would totally destroy it, and there would be nothing left of it. But look at chapter 1 and verse 20. Let's look at see what if I mean is does that make sense? If something 10 times bigger than the Earth hits the Earth, it done for. So can it really be real stars? So chapter 1 verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. So it might be that. Look at chapter 9. Look at verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven under the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. So see, them are certainly not talking about, you know, rock and whatever they're made of, stars. They're talking about angels. One of the best ways to get the smoke from the pit and the center of the earth is from a volcano that would come up. And so you got all that going on. So these angels are allowed to unleash, it looks like in back at chapter 6, well, they're look at verse 3, chapter 6 and verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast saying, come and see. So the simple fact of it is, these angels are allowed to unleash all of this terror on the earth that we see going on here. Look at chapter 12 of Revelation. Chapter 12 and look at verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head. And verse 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Okay? Can you think he's not big when he brings that tail around? Well, what's he picking up? Is he talking about little physical stars? I don't think so. Because most of the stars are much, much larger than Earth. These are angels, and he's casting them down. That, you know. Now we know that these are not the stars that we can see in the night, but are unclean spirits, evil angels being sent down to earth, causing terror. And Satan is casting them down with his tail. Think about that. He draws them with his tail. And puts them down. Kind of spooky, isn't it? That's almost something like Hollywood. So in chapter 12 there. Let me get back over there. Look at verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You say, how can anyone fight against them to defend yourself? You can't. And if you're there, you can't ask Jesus Christ to save you at that point. But you can now. And then you won't be there. Amen. So the Bible tells us to flee from the wrath to come. That's wrath to come. The Bible says that we as the church today, born again Christians, is not appointed to wrath. That means we don't go through the tribulation period. The wrath to come. Hebrews 9:27 says, appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. James 4:14, wherefore ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Well, what else could be, if it's not angels? It could be, I guess, maybe meteorites. You heard of all of fallen stars or shooting stars, haven't you? Could be that. I'm more inclined to think it's angels, wicked spirits. So in verse 14, let me get back to chapter 7, 5, 6, where am I at? 14. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. Hold your place here. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah. Find the middle book in your Bible, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. Isaiah 24. Just look at some scriptures on these a little bit. Isaiah 24. Look at verse 19, 24 and verse 19. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall see. This is what you talking about, earthquakes and you know what causes volcanoes a lot of times is earthquakes. I mean, this old earth is going to rock and roll, man. It's going to shake. And maybe moved as drunkard shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgressions thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again, and it shall come to pass. Why don't a Jehovah Witness get that? This earth is going to be destroyed, and it shall come to pass in that day. That always gives you your context, Old Testament or New Testament. You look five or six verses before it or behind, in that day is always dealing with the tribulation or the second, the millennial reign. Every time. Amen. So that gives you, it's right in the middle of the tribulation. In that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones, and then the context tells you which one it is. He's punishing, so it's not the millennial reign, it's the tribulation. The high ones and the kings of the earth upon the earth, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in a pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days they shall be looked and visited. Then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion, and right there is your millennial reign, and in Jerusalem and before his ancient glorious. It went from the tribulation right to the millennial reign. Okay? And so that's what it's talking about there. The high ones, see, I think that these stars that fall, again, are really angels. I believe that's what it's talking about. And over in Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the ruler of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Exactly what it's talking about. Okay? And so look at Isaiah 13. You're still in Isaiah? Look at Isaiah 13. There's so many scriptures. We'll go through run through them here. Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13. Look at verse 6. How ye, for the day of the Lord, it is at hand. There it is. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pains and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman in travail. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Remember what it said over in Revelation 6, 12 through 17 there? Notice here, their faces are going to be flamed like flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. There's your context. Cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Look at Isaiah 34. Sounds like a pretty rough time to me. I'm thankful I'm not going to be here. Isaiah 34, look at verse 2. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all the armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. Wow, isn't that something? And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. Well, now that's what it said in Revelation chapter 6. And all, now the thing that you got to remember in this, the third heaven is still intact. That's where God's throne is. There's three heavens. God's throne is still intact, but everything else, Revelation chapter 20, dissolved. And so, and the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth off the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. Isaiah 40, tough times, man. You're not ready for that. I can tell you. Isaiah 40, look at verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall... Now, what is that? That is the second coming. And what is he? Comes from heaven, out of the north, comes down, and he touches down at Damascus. The first place he touches down, and look here, and he comes, starts down through the valley of Gedo, slaughtering. And verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Look at Zechariah. Just go before almost the book of Matthew. It's about 2 to 3 books back from Matthew. But look at Zechariah chapter 14. Say, what's Zechariah about? Tribulation. He was in that this morning, talking about the wicked angels. So Zechariah 14, and look at verse 4. And his feet, who? The Lord. The Lord, his feet shall stand in that day. What day? The day of the Lord, when he comes back. And he's gonna hit in Damascus. And when he comes down and hits a second time, it's on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. And what happens when he lands there in Mount Zion in Jerusalem? Oh, by the way, that's where he was crucified, right there on that mountain. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst. Remember where he went to pray? The Mount of Olives? This is it. That's where he's going to come back to. And shall cleave in, and when he lands, it's going to split. Earthquakes, he's going to go into landscaping business. There you go, Ryan. Christ is going to be a landscaper right there. Everything, the land's going to move. Look at that. And middle of Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Man, he's landscaping. Look at verse 10. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimna, south of Jerusalem. It shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananiel to the king's winepress. Look at verse 12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all of the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. You ready for that? This is why I got saved. I don't want to go through this. And then they end up in hell for... I don't want to... I was making a statement the other day, and you've heard this before. I'm as close to hell as I'm going to get. And an unsaved person's as close to heaven as they're going to get. Just the way it is. And so when we read this, we ought to understand some things. And in verse, go back to Revelation, let's settle up here. Verse 15, the kings of the earth and the great men, rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and evil bondmen and every free man hid themselves in dens and rocks of the mountains. And look at that all said. Then verse 16, and they said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of that lamb. Can't handle that lamb, man. He, I'll tell you what, see, to us, he's a wonderful, precious lamb slain from the fountain. But to them, oh, it's a whole different picture. Look at chapter 7, verse 9. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of course, now these are all Jehovah's Witnesses. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. That's not what I wanted. Verse 9, let's get there. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all the nation, kindred, and people, and tongues, and stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now, here are saved people standing before God. But over in chapter 6, the lost and the unsaved people, they can't bear the sight of this Lamb. That's wild. So the question is asked, who can stand before God? Only the saved. The saved are looking forward to seeing his face. Man, that's the first thing we're going to see when we get to glory, his face. But the lost will be hiding themselves because they don't want to look at him. How do I know that? All you got to do is start get this old book out and start preaching. They don't want to look at that book. And of course, another name for our Savior is the Word of God. You know, remember, Adam and Eve tried to hide themselves from God in the garden because of their sin. And sin in your life will cause you to try to hide from God. But if you'll come to Him, let Him wash you, repent of that, and let Him wash you and save you, or just get you right, then you can look upon Him. You want to look upon Him. Now, it talks about death there, okay? In verse 17, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And it's talking, death is a great equalizer of all men. It really is. I quoted a while ago, Hebrews 9:27, as it appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You know, but you run back up to verse 15, talks about the kings of the earth and everything. You'd think that after all the things that just happened to them, they would fall on their face and ask God forgiveness and repent. But they don't. They hide themselves and pray to Mother Nature to help them. Oh, mountains fall on. They look to Mother Nature. Well, I got news for you. My Savior is going to scorch your mother, if that's what you believe. Amen? There's nothing going to be left to this Mother Earth. It's not going to happen. So, let me show you what some lost, unsaved people do when trouble comes. Instead of running to God and getting forgiveness and saved, they run away from Him. Look at chapter 16. The Bible tells me that my mother is Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. Not then. So look at 16 and look at verse 9. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemy. Now notice. And men were scorched with great heat. Did they repent? Nope. And blasphemed the name of God, which had power over the plagues. You know, there's people that not going to repent. There are wicked people out there today that are just, they will defy God in every way. And so, you know what these people, now look at verse 10 of chapter 16. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the sea and the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues. You know, do you ever bite your tongue? Doesn't that? Now, I don't do that very much, but I'll bite my cheek. Now, Tom Bard, he will bite his tongue. I mean, and when he does, he lets everybody in the world know about it. I mean, we'll be in a restaurant, and he'll go, wham! I mean, blood will start coming out of his mouth. But they will gnaw their tongue, not for pain, but because of pain. You ever heard the old saying, well, if this arm's hurting, well, let me hit that other one to get it hurting more so you won't reckon it. I guess that's what they're doing. But that's tough, man. That's tough. They gnaw their tongues for pain. Look at verse 11. And blaspheme, that's the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Isn't that something? Verse 21. And there fell upon men great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. Whoa! You're talking about making butter out of you. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Wow, man. Look at chapter 7, verse 14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white with the blood of lambs. Some of them came out of it. That, my friend, is the only way to get your sins forgiven, is to have them washed away by the blood of Christ. Amen? And so when we're reading through chapter 6 here, we can close there, but you can see what's going on. What people you think, well, surely they'll repent. No. There's people out there that won't, regardless of what happens. They will set their jaw and will not repent. There is people on this earth right now that I have preached this and watched people grab and shake and just be scared to death and still won't get saved. Don't know what's going on. They just won't do it. So, I'm not ready for that. I don't have to be worried about get ready for that. Because I'm not going to be there. See, 1 Thessalonians said that he comes in the air and he'll call me up, and so shall I ever be with him. That's good stuff. We're supposed to encourage each other with that. This is not encouragement. It's sad, but I'm not worried about it. I believe and understand everything that it says that's going to happen will happen. You know why? Because all the prophecies that have already been fulfilled about Christ to the T proves that all other prophecies will be fulfilled the same way. Amen? Any comments?
So when those angels fall from heaven, would that be in the spirit world, or would they be able to see them?
I don't know, man. They might be able to be seen by this time. They might be able to take a body form or something. I don't know. That's a good question. I suppose that because they see the ones that come out of hell. You know, the ones with scorpion tails and all that. They see them come out of hell. And I'm just assuming at this time that they'll be able to recognize the dragon, Satan, for what he is. These wicked spirits will probably take a bodily form and, of something. And I think that's going to be part of it. Right now, you can't see a good spirit or a wicked spirit.
When you see all the stuff that's coming up out of there, that's given part of wickedness coming in the
Well, that's why I say that them. Yeah. But now this, well, she's asking about the ones that the dragon's tail draws out of heaven and cast them down to the earth. Well, it could be. I think, well, no, there's going to be demons coming up, but he draws them out of the heavens. Where are they? Where is he at right now? He's between the second and third heaven. That's where he dwells. And so evidently, there's a lot of other wicked spirits up there with him. And I just kind of always figured that he draws them out of his tail and cast them down to the earth, that these are totally separate, different ones. That's what's going to come up. Yep. And we're told what they look like and everything, but these here. Oh, that's what she's asking. I think they will. Yeah, I think they will. So, of some kind of form. I don't know what. No. The ones that come out of the pit, it tells what they're going to look like. But the ones that are cast down from heaven, we don't know. That's what she was asking. Will they be able to recognize? Will they have a bodily form? I'm assuming that they probably will. Right now, they're just spirits, which you can't see. But at that time, evidently, they will take on a form of some kind, just like the ones coming out. I mean, they won't be like them, but they'll take on a form. And so you got the ones coming out of the pit, and you got the ones that he casting down from heaven. But it doesn't, nowhere does it, do I know of that it actually tells anything about what they look like, the ones that's cast down. They're just evil spirits. Amen? Anything else? All right, let's.